Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hi there, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gerg, and he's basically an alligator soothsayer from the faraway land called Miami. He's Siege.
Hi. Hello, Gerg. Oh. How are you this
evening? Hello!
Hello.
Also, shout-outs to Brandon. Oh, just kidding. Brandon doesn't respond to texts.
That guy. There's going to be a news story out one of these days coming up soon that his children have eaten him.
Oh, no. I hope that they have sauces. Anyway.
I hope so, too.
Neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain. One of us is an alligator soothsayer, but if you are one of those things, even an alligator soothsayer, let us know what we get wrong and what we potentially even get right. And if you could tell a friend or write a review, you could hop on to any of the places that let you do reviews. I think the only one I can think of is Apple Podcasts. But if you could do that, that'd be great. That helps us grow the show.
There's several places that'll actually let you do reviews, but the only one that actually lets us know that you love us is Apple Podcasts. So
if you're streaming on Spotify, there's a way to give each episode 5 stars if you want. That would be really helpful. We would appreciate that. And yeah, just good luck to everybody.
So all I see right now from Apple Podcasts is we actually got another 5-star review from Thick Thighs Save Lives, but no words. So Thick Thighs Save Lives. Yeah. Thick Thighs Save Lives. We appreciate the 5 stars, but definitely go back and edit your review and give us some kind words to add to it. We'll definitely read up on it.
Or just some descriptive words about your thick thighs. I don't know.
Like, yeah.
I need something. It could be or nonsense. Like, you could just tell us a recipe you like for all I care.
You could find us on Nerd Talk Plus, how to get in touch with us, and you can send those pictures of your thick thighs to our DMs anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Have at it. Anyway, Siege, how you doing, buddy? You're at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting or Brothling. I can't remember which one it was that you do now.
Both. It's you know, it is whatever.
Brothel casting.
I'm at brothel casting. This is a live cast. Turn on your cameras, ladies and gentlemen.
Talk about the best cam girl service, the brothel cast. Let's go.
I am cam girl number one, so always select me. Thick thighs save lives. I am okay. I am a roller coaster of emotions lately. I've been broken up with by the same girl 3 times in the last 2 weeks, 2 times by text.
What?
You know what? Yeah, people like, I mean, we weren't even like, we were really talking. That's it. But, but I love her. So it's okay. And my therapist thinks that she's good for me. So, I mean...
Did your mom break up with you?
I mean, my mom has broken up with me since I was like 4. So, let's bring childhood trauma up in this episode.
How about you, buddy? I don't want you to overcompensate, okay? This is important to me. Don't overcompensate. But I've noticed that it's been a down week for Siege content in the group chat and the group text. There hasn't been an abundance of Siege stuff for me to giggle about. And so I've picked up the slack and I've been looking at the internet almost nonstop to make sure that my whatever that feature is on your phone that tells you you're looking at your phone too much does not diminish. I want it to be way through
the roof. You got to keep it up at 14 to 16 hours a day.
Yeah, see? And I don't think I didn't notice. I was like, I hope old Siege is okay. So the triple breakup in 2 weeks, that makes sense.
Hey, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we'll be back together soon enough. In like it's all good.
As for me, my brother is coming to town. So I'm the oops of my family. There's two much older brothers. And he has, since I moved here 14 years ago, he's been saying that he's going to come to town. And his youngest daughter of 3, who's now 21, has been the one who's like, let's go see Uncle Greg in Seattle. And so finally on Wednesday, tomorrow, they're coming to town and we'll have a chance to, do all the things that you try to figure out what your conservative banking brother does when your tattooed radio show clown of a sibling is hosting you. So... It'll be really fun. Thing I thought, tell me what you think about this. My and yours soccer club, Seattle Sounders FC, has a third game in the playoffs Friday at Lumen Field in Seattle. And I was like, well, let's go. Like, let's go to it. You want to go? And he was like, well, is it fun? And I was like, I was just going to take you to something terrible. was like, nah, I really, you know what else is going to be unfun to do? Let's go to something else unfun. Yeah, yeah, it's going to be fun, dummy, of course.
Let's ruin your trip.
Now, it's his daughter who, like, they're a sports house, so, like, they did sports and stuff, so she's not unfamiliar with the idea. But I don't know how excited she would be for a Seattle Sounders FC playoff match. I don't know if that's her wheelhouse of good times. So, what do you think? Should I take him?
I mean, I know where you sit, and you're right next to ECS, and yeah. I'm an ECS season ticket holder, even though I don't get up there, and... Yeah, I would definitely go. That's just, I mean, it's hard to deny the infectious nature being that close to it. Like, you, well, it's just a party over there.
We wouldn't have those tickets because, like, my friends that are supporters would want to use those, and so
yeah, of course.
So I'm thinking about, I have a relationship with the Seattle Sounders, and I was thinking about putting in an email to be like, can you help dumb old Greg with him with some tickets for his family? And then see what they say. Because they're not selling out, right? Like, it's like, there's too many teams and too many sports, and like the first game in the playoffs didn't sell out. I mean, I'm sure they said it did. I shouldn't be talking like this if I'm going to ask them for something. But
I mean, selling out, like it's like, what are they tarping off and what are they not, you know? Because the first one was a Monday and this one is a Friday, and what are they at, 6 p.m. local? So it's like, you either got to take off work or jet out of work early, or yeah, man.
Flying from Indiana,
man, flying in from Indiana alone should be like, is it fun going to a soccer game? Yeah, anything is fun. You're in from Indiana. Shout out to Indiana.
It's more fun than the Klan rally happening one county over. So, like, yeah.
I mean, but is it?
I've never been to a Klan rally.
Watching. But being from Florida and living right next to the Everglades, I can tell you how many times I've wandered out there when I was younger to hide and maybe drink a beer illegally. And all of a sudden, there's a burning cross up there. You're like, we better leave.
Yeah, at elevation, did the crosses burn well on the Everglade Mountains?
It is humid. It is humid here, so the wood tends to not burn out quicker. So they may not burn as bright, but they do burn longer.
Okay, good. I want to be very clear that the Klan is despicable and we hate them. So
yes, correct.
This is a comedy podcast with bad jokes.
Yes, that was anyway, all sarcasm. Send all your emails at BrandonMG.
Yeah, please. Exactly. Don't find him at nerdtalkplus.com. Just find him on the internet on your own accord. Now, Siege... You made a claim. I wish I had the clip. Maybe I'll dig it up. You made a claim that you were ready for a certain alligator to make a certain alligator appearance for a certain very Florida-y event. And you nailed it. Tell us about it, please.
Oh, man. So Wally, the friendly, healthy gator, or what? I can't remember what his exact title is. What is it?
Emotional support gator?
Emotional support alligator, which is like the greatest single thing I've ever heard of in my entire life. The guy from Philadelphia, or just outside Philadelphia, Harrisburg, actually, was trying to get him into a Philadelphia Phillies game.
Phillies.
And they were like, maybe try it back during the playoffs, which they never got to do it in the playoffs over there because they swept the Marlins down here. Jerks. And I was saying, well, what other Philadelphia teams? Because Philadelphia seems like the town that would be like, get him in. And I was like, the Flyers, the hockey team, because they're nuts. And legitimately, their mascot, Gritty, is amazing and crazy and like punches Nazis in the face and stuff like that. And I was like, that's the team that he needs to go to. Like, that needs to happen. And then we came up with like the whole buddy cop movie of a silent mascot of Gritty and Wally, the emotional support alligator, fighting crime. And sure enough, just this past week, the beginning of the NHL season, Wally, our good friend, the support alligator, and his, you know, master, supporter, whatever, were at the Philadelphia Flyers for the hockey game, and they got to hang out with Gritty all day.
Now, as a former alligator holder myself, I held a 9-year-old alligator about the size of a Kit Kat. terrifying, but also amazing.
Yes.
I love the idea of a support alligator, and I love the idea that some dude takes his alligator to the mall for kids to pet. That's super weird. This isn't a kitty cat size one either. This is an alligator sized alligator. And,
oh, yeah.
While he supposedly loves it, has a great temperament, has yet to bite anyone. That's definitely happening, but for now, he's yet to bite anyone. And yeah, so it was nice to get that message from you so much earlier in the week, and I had to be like, please remind me to do this again. And you did. So got that text message last night being like, I don't mean to be this guy, but don't forget to talk about the support alligator. I'm like, yes.
Yes. So, never forget Wally.
There's a great NPR story about Wally from September 29th, if you want to go back and read it. And we will definitely forget to post it on our socials at nerdtalkplus.com. So anyway. All right. Well, maybe this is something that's happened to you, Siege. It's happened to all of us, I think. And then there's always the annoying person, my mother-in-law, who says the same thing. You get a jar of salsa, of pickles, of olives, something like that. You got the glass jar and you use your man strength, your alligator strength to try and twist this thing off and it won't budge. Mm-hmm. And then you hand it to someone else and they go... And it like pops right away. And then the person that did all the hard work is like, well, I loosened it for you.
Yeah.
And, like, it's the classic canning and jarring of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are not alone in that type of problem. NASA is suffering from it as well. They still can't get the container that they put some asteroid dust into. They can't get it open. It's stuck like a pickle jar. They sent a probe millions of miles away, scooped up some rocks from an asteroid called Bennu. And then shipped it all the way back here, millions of miles again. And now the lid won't come off. Instantly, I'm like, have you tried tapping it on the concrete?
Yeah. Try tapping it on the edge of the counter. Get one of those little plasticky or rubbery type things. Get a little extra grip on it with a little twist. I remember when the story came when it got back. And they were talking about scientists can't reveal what's inside of it yet for a while. And then they started saying they haven't opened it yet. And they're just like, all the sample, they collected so much dust from the outside of it. They're just going to be so amazed about what's inside of it. And it's like, now it's like, wait a second. They still haven't opened it yet? What the hell is going on around here?
Yeah, I saw the story about them being like, well, we can't get it open yet. And I was like, okay, fine. And now it's been weeks. And I'm like... Y'all all right? Now, they have an explanation. It's that it needs to be open in a clean room because they don't want our, you know, earth jizz getting all over it. They want to open it somewhere
free of
the bacteria and stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, you get one too many scientists in a room and it's over.
I mean, you open that thing in front of me, it's already contaminated.
He leans back. Yeah, so they can't get it open, but like you said, there was so much asteroid dust on the outside that they've begun studying it. And hey, who's that guy in the background? Hi, guy.
Oh, that's the director of Connecticut School of Broadcasting, South Florida.
Should I nipple out. Woo! Look at this. Woo!
Look at my nips.
Anyway, sorry for anyone that's not seeing the video of this, which is everyone. I definitely just exposed myself to a man. Oh, he's back again. Oh. Woo!
He just gave me the thumbs up. Yes. And I'm fired.
Nerd Talk Teen is canceled this week.
This is Nerd Talk during the day, Tuesday stripper edition. And anybody that knows what I'm talking about knows what I'm talking about.
Find me on TikTok if you want to know what I'm talking about. Anyway. All right. Well, that wraps it up. Sorry, NASA. Yeah, I've tried using a nipple to get it open. Anyway, they're hoping that they can understand how the formation of the solar system outside of the planet that's been corrupted by the biology that's here, how that's working. And they've already found water molecules and other stuff. And I just can't get past the idea that NASA doesn't know how to open the dang thing. That they said that they can't open it with any tool that they have yet, meaning that they're going to have to invent a new tool. Yeah, just to get into it. So.
Oh my God, that's insane.
Now, like, to be fair, the asteroid is billions of years old. And so what's another couple Tuesdays until you, you know, get into it or whatever?
I want it now.
Absolutely. It's pretty wild what they did to get the sample. Like, they literally sent a probe millions of miles to a rock. And then they basically, like, you know, when people aerate their lawns and there's those plugs of dirt that are all over the top of it, they basically took one of those things and bam, punched it into the surface of the asteroid and collected as much as they could, like a squirrel, and then closed the thing up, flew back to Earth. Then they dumped the containment probe, the vessel, off of its little canister that looks like it's a thing that comes back from space, like a little space capsule. And then they've sent the thing to another asteroid. So it's going to have a secondary mission to go get more space rocks from stuff.
Is that the same one that they're putting on for Psyche? For the rocket launch that I was at, where I got burned alive?
No. Oh, okay. It's a different one. They're doing multiple missions. This is OSIRIS-REx is what it's called, is the name.
Yeah, OSIRIS-REx was the first one. I didn't know if it was same thing, just different mission. My bad. Sorry. No,
they're going to get NASA. It right.
Sorry.
Yeah, geez. Some administrator is like, yeah, this does not calculate.
Yeah, well, leave a review and tell me that I was wrong, but also make it 5 stars. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, dude, here's something that I'm sure that we have both done in our lifetimes. I can't speak for you, and I haven't done it a lot, I don't think, but you know the cup noodle? I always thought it was cup of noodle, but you know cup noodle, I'm sure, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, Nissin, the company that makes cup noodle, is rolling out new greener packaging. Their cup for cup noodle will be made from paper instead of styrofoam, and they say now it'll finally be microwavable.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, what do you
only now you we don't get to eat chemicals?
I'm like, wait, or, what well, do you harmful mean finally? Chemicals. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, what do you mean finally? I've been microwaving cup of noodle. Like there was 5 years in college where I played video games and ate cup noodle and like, what do you mean?
Hell, all those years that Dunkin' Donuts used styrofoam coffees, and if it got too cold, I'd be reheating that thing in that styrofoam cup too. I mean, like there's
Mexican takeout, like everything.
Anything,
like
everything. So I thought they were edible.
Hey, do you remember, this is like, we're just go back in the old man machine right now. Do you remember being kids when the burgers at McDonald's came in styrofoam containers?
Yeah, I do.
And like, and if you like, when you were done with your burger, you could take your straw and punch it into the front and you could drive it around like a tank.
Yes, I do. I do. Do you remember when if you actually got it at the place, like when they were originally doing some of that stuff in the 80s, they would serve it to you and it would be half would have the bun top and all the toppings and the other half would have the bottom part so you could put your own stuff on it.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Wild? That's nut. It's like a whole different world now. Now it's just like everything is just wrapped in wax paper and just like just eat it, just do it.
Just comes out of the tray full of meat and then they just add the stuff on and give it to you.
The only positive I can say about the paper is my dad fell in love with paper cheese. Like that's his favorite thing. Like it doesn't matter what restaurant you go to, if it's wrapped up in paper and it's got the melted cheese on it, my dad's just like over there like scraping cheese off the paper with his teeth.
Like, so he likes a good smash burger.
Oh, yeah. Then, yeah. Oh, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be like, you know, a steaming pile of whatever. As long as it's got cheese on that paper, he's excited.
Yeah, my dog barfed the other day. Just put some cheese on there, melted up a little bit under the carpet. How about it, Siege's dad? Gross. Yeah, so anyway, they're switching from styrofoam to paper cups. And now I wonder if I'm dead on the inside, both emotionally and physically. Like, I'm unsure of where my life goes from here. So
I just want to know. Well, go ahead.
To be fair, at some point I did switch to being an adult and heating the water up on its own, either in a kettle or in a glass container in the microwave. And so, and then I don't really eat a ton of ramen these days, but I probably should because someone's putting on the LBs.
I mean, I honestly didn't even know until you just told me that was an option of heating water outside of it and then putting it in. I'm a genius, but not in that clearly. When it comes to those little things like that. He never thought of it. Never in my life thought of heating. I was like, that's just too many steps. That's too many pieces. I can't do that. I was just
I
like,
love watching British people. I love watching British people get mad about us making tea in the microwave where you like put it in and heat up the water. It's like, that's not hot enough. It's not going to steep enough. And like Americans are like, I don't give a crap. I don't got time to boil water. You losers.
I'm not here for your stupid tea.
I do love a cup of tea, but generally only after daylight saving time ends.
So yes, now that we're back to Eastern and Pacific Standard Time, we're going to be drinking a lot more tea. Fun.
I'm such a dick about my emails where I'm emailing people. I'm like, hey, this episode airs at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, Pacific Daylight Time.
Yeah,
or Standard Time. Instead of just being like 10 a.m., I like don't want any misconception about when it's supposed to air. Get it right. Wait,
you see when Excuse I post you. Stuff, it's like I just write Pacific or Eastern so I don't piss off the people who are like, what is PDT or what is PST? It's like, figure it out,
What is
man.
PTSD?
Yes, we are nerds. You're going to have to deal with our nerdiness. And I still want to eat all a right, cup of noodles. At least the cup.
Yeah, me too. That's all I've been thinking about since this morning. Just the cup. Pour out all the other stuff. Get munching.
Make the cup out of noodles. Save a step. Yeah. That's right.
It's like an ice cream cone of noodles.
Oh, my God. That's even better. And then you just buy the cup and then you just drop the cup in the boiling water. There you go. Now we don't seem like such nerds for putting stuff in the microwave. Look at us.
Dummies.
solving world problems. And we save the environment. And Siege doesn't eat a bunch of microplastics not on purpose.
And the whales maybe live a little longer. Probably not, but maybe.
And their cheese is so much more fresh and pure.
Is this farmed orca cheese? Nope, it's wild.
This is wild orca cheese. You can expect a little microplastics in
Cheesemonger.
There.
Cheesemonger! Give me your finest free-range orca cheese.
We only have orca butter. Aisle 8.
Well, from the giggles to the ultimately very concerning news, makers are set to pay 23andMe millions to have access to consumer DNA. The one thing that everyone that was freaked out about having you hand over your DNA to a company that is like not regulated coming true. Now, like I feel like if you handed over your spit to someone else, these companies or drug makers are going to have access to your info. Don't worry though, it's anonymous until the data leak. I presume.
Yeah. Like,
that rarely happens, other than like Microsoft and Facebook and LinkedIn and JP Morgan Chase, Adult Friend Finder, Adobe, eBay, Equifax, Zynga. Basically never happens though. Just
no, never. Especially not to big companies that, you know, take precautions and everything else like that. No.
Yeah, that would never try to save money on security. Like So basically what I'm worried about is now that they'll know that you have like for instance, I recently became a mutant, as we all found out. Congratulations, me. I start X-Men school in the spring. Nice. And I'm going to cause people's blood to clot. It's going to be great. Yeah, enjoy that embolism, losers.
The greatest power ever. I disagree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's a wonderful one. The sneakiest way to die.
Blood sure is syrupy. Wow. He looks very sleepy. Oh, yeah, I thickened his blood for him. No big deal. Anyway. So the thing I worry about, though, is that, like, so if the insurance had known that about me before I got the blood clots, when I got the blood clots, would they cover it? Because they'd be like, oh, pre-existing condition, you gotta pay us more if you want that.
Yeah.
Or like, what if your DNA says that in 50 years you're likely to have this? Or what if you have an inactive sequence that is technically a marker for having the problem, but it's recessive or something? Or is that what it's called?
Yeah. Like, what if it's recessive allele?
It's not active and it's instead dormant and they still are like, well, we can't take that risk. It's going to cost you this much more. Like, ideally, the drug makers would use this information to like make kick-ass drugs, like better mushrooms or whatever. But instead, what they'll do is they'll team up with the insurance companies to bonus out of coverage, which is terrifying in itself.
Essentially, they're just handing over blood or spit, whatever it is that they have, all of the above.
One of those.
Whatever I put in that bucket and sent to him. Oh, that was poop. Sorry, poop bucket.
Still, that works good.
Whatever it was that they have. So they just get our DNA anonymously, and it's going to be medical testing for that. Or is it going to be like straight up insurance companies or like big corporations can buy it? Like, it's like, where do we go from here?
Well, and that's just it. Is that like the... What's the saying where like... if you're rich enough, you just pay the fine.
Yeah, yeah, right? Exactly.
And so if, yep. if they buy it and they say, we promise not to, oops, we did.
Oh,
here's
we did
a billion
it.
Dollars.
Yeah.
Oh, well. And then, like,
it's
beyond
more fun
that,
to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission.
Right. And, like, if you're the chief, you know, campaign donor for someone's, they're not going to come after you or whatever.
Yeah, 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 of
but,
course.
You know, if you were caught selling a dime of weed on the street in Texas, like, straight to jail, man.
Yeah, straight to jail.
So, the idea, though, that, like, I get my prescription medication for my awesome mutation. I get that nice. From the same company that is my healthcare provider. And so, like, you say, who's going to get it? Like, well, they're one and the same right now.
Yeah.
And so, what does that look like? It just becomes very problematic, I think. And it's the thing that, like, you might as well have a robot dog come after you with the news, too, while you're at it. Because it all feels like it's linked.
I mean, it's just like where, yeah, you're now you got me thinking about all sorts of stuff. Cause I not to like drop it in any personal stuff, but I mean, all the stuff I'm going through right now medically. And, it's just like, now they know this about me and they know this about me. And they can pull a history from things that I do. They're like, oh, well, you were in a car accident, whatever time ago. And not, this isn't just like an injury from work or whatever else like that. And they're like trying to compare this and that and trying to get out of like actually helping me for the thing that I pay, you know, God only knows how much a month to do. Yeah. And with your DNA and just getting like all sorts of quote unquote pre-existing conditions that you might not even know that you have. Hell, science might not even know it's a pre-existing condition until down the road. And then they figure that out and they're like, oh, well, that's bad. And then it's like, oh, well, this guy had that. So yeah, no dice, buddy.
Claim denied.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's spooky stuff, dude. But also that assumes we're going to make it much longer. So ta-da.
I mean, we're done by at least what, 2050? How many more World Cups we got? Like 12?
I want to skip that one that they announced, but I'm not going to get into it.
Anyway. I hear you.
So are you, like, what's your favorite streaming platform, Siege?
Man, I bounce all over the place. I personally use Apple TV and I've got like all the ones connected to it with like Paramount, Hulu, Netflix. I mean, just because I've got a variety of things that I like, but Hulu tends to have some of the most stuff that I have that I watch on it.
It's interesting. They're all increasing their prices right now, but then they're all also like rolling out stronger ad supported tiers where you watch commercials and you get the, and I'm, so to me, it sounds like that they could make a lot more money from advertising by doing, now that they've built the user base, they can be like, we can show these ads to this many million people and we can control who sees them and this and that. Right. And it's like suddenly more worth it because Netflix is going to reward you for binge watching. Like if you pay for the ad supported tier. So if you watch three episodes and it has ads in those episodes, the fourth one, they'll let you watch without commercial interruption. And then you start the process over again. And it's fascinating to see how this is changing.
I mean, got to watch three to watch the fourth. So now you're dedicating like, what, 2 hours of time to it. I mean, if you were already going to be doing it, that's fine.
Yeah, I imagine that they're trying to get you to stick around for another episode. Then if you stuck around for a fourth, then you're a piece of shit. So you might as well stick around for a fifth.
Yeah, I mean, the shows that I watch, like there's some fun shows that I watch. Like on Hulu, there's one called Shorzy. It's like a side off of Letterkenny. And each episode is about 20 minutes. And now that it's on Hulu with the commercials, there's 3 to 4 commercial breaks that are a minute and a half each, which, I mean, makes a 20-minute show something I could squeeze in here or there or whatever into a full-on half hour. And now it's just like, oh, I don't want to watch this. I can't even click through once it's like 5 seconds into the ad. Like, give me something.
Is that the one that's the hockey one?
Yes.
Missing that tooth?
He is. And I've heard multiple different stories that he actually had the tooth pulled.
Oh my God.
Like, I know he played hockey when he was younger, but dedication to a part, man.
Letterkenny is a Canadian show where they're like, you know, like hosers living out in the middle of nowhere. But the one guy's the toughest guy in town and the other guy runs his mouth and the other guy's like the prolifically smart yes. hillbilly guy, and like, yeah, it's fun. And so this is when I saw that other, the main guy that's on the, and they wrote it on YouTube. They came up with the premise on YouTube and made episodes, and they got it picked up and made this thing. I've only ever watched like 5 or 6 episodes of Letterkenny, and I was like, I don't understand if I like this or not. And I'm so fond of it as a memory, much more so than ever having watched an episode. So I feel like I need to go back and consume it.
You know, it's definitely, it's worth the time. I remember one time, because like when I first got into it, I was like, okay, I get the humor, I get where it's going, and I get the beat. I like the beat, but is this going to work? And I get into like 5 episodes or something. And then like next thing you know, I've binged a whole season. And then I've gone back and watched like full, 10 or 11 seasons of it again. And what's great is, because you know you love callbacks, I love callbacks, they call back stuff all the way from the beginning, and it's like just things that just become part of life.
Oh, like the time you got your ass kicked in that bar, eh?
Yeah. And like with you know, hey, like Sup Dummy, like how that's just proliferated throughout entire life. I know, exactly. That's from a completely different show that I've never even been on, but yet we've done it on this one, Full 90, like anything. And I've even caught myself saying that on like Florida Man Murders. I'm like, hey, sup, dummy.
Oh yeah, I try to slip it in everywhere I can, especially when I'm on shows that have nothing to do with it, just because it's funny to me.
Exactly. But that's one thing that they do. They start like there'll be a thing like, to be fair, and everybody's to be fair, and it's like, you hear that, if you just jump in at like season 7, you're like, what are they doing? And it's like just something they happen to do as a joke in one show, and it comes back 2 seasons later, and then just through the rest of time. And then Shorzy is just this crazy hockey player in this show. Uh-oh. And then he moves on to like be professional up in Sudbury, Canada. And it's just,
You just time jumped like 14 seconds. I lost you there.
Oh, really? Well, I was here. So
hi,
or at least I'm back. Wow.
What's the other one with the guys that drink and the guy and Bubbles has the glasses, the Canadian show?
Oh, oh man, that's gonna take me a minute. I'm trying
people
to
right now are screaming at the radio.
I know.
What?
Right?
How do you not know?
Well, I'm sorry, I have Hulu, not Crave, so I don't get all the Canadian stuff exactly pumped into me. Ay, ay, ay. Oh,
you're I'm gonna find it
up. Yeah,
Trailer Park Boys.
Yes, I'm sitting here saying and it like, over you, and over.
You watch the first couple seasons of that, and it's so bad. It's so poorly done. People love it. I get it. But it's like shot on like a camcorder by their friend in an actual trailer park. Mm-hmm. Like it's, and then once they get the production value up or whatever, it's fun, and I get it or whatever. But Letterkenny doesn't have that problem at all. It starts off high quality right away.
Yeah.
So it makes it a lot more, the bar to entrance is a lot easier or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, Canadians absolutely.
Canadians make weird TV, man. Kids in the Hall is my OG, and then the one with the rich people that live in the hotel, that one's like awesome.
Yeah.
And,
oh man, what was that called? Yeah, dude,
this is the worst show ever.
I know, yeah. Everybody's just yelling at it. We're going to get so many reviews now. Just everybody, write us reviews and tell us what shows that we were screwing up. And 5 stars, please.
What was it, the Rosebud Motel? Is that what it was?
Schitt's Creek,
that's
like
what
that.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, Schitt's Creek. Yeah. Man, that was all the Canadian shows are great. I love all those kind of shows that never really were super popular in the U.S. Like, what was it? Almost Live from Seattle. I loved that. Like on the East Coast, because SNL was live here back when Almost Live was on. And then Almost Live, I guess, was like taped or something earlier in the day and then played right after Saturday Night Live here. And then
you
I guess
see it over there.
Yeah. You kidding me? When I was a kid, I guess not even necessarily when I was a kid, but when I was younger, I was watching SNL and Almost Live when I was a kid, like just watching them back to back. I loved those two shows. I remember, I was just talking about somebody the other day when Bill Nye was like the superhero speedwalker or something. Like somebody stole a Dick's hamburger and Bill Nye went and speedwalked and like chased this guy down and beat him up and like got the Dick's hamburger back. Like it was so hyper local that like I didn't fully get it at the time, but
I never saw it outside of like, I've seen it now since I moved here and people were like, yo, you got to watch this and I love it or whatever. But it was like, it didn't exist for me until I was 30 or something like that.
So. Yeah, man. I don't know if it was something that I seeked out when I was younger, because I would, since I was a kid, hell, I when I was growing up, my dad.
But how would
stay
you have, dude? It wasn't, yeah, there wasn't real YouTube. There wasn't like, you, it would have to be on somewhere, right?
Yeah, I would have had to have heard of somewhere of this sketch comedy because I would, it probably could have been on HBO or something. You remember High Five and White Guys and like stuff like that that just became, people don't remember where it came from, but it came from there. And I just remember because when I was a kid, I used to hang out behind my dad's chair while he was watching David Letterman in like the 80s. Yes, I'm that old. Yeah. And ever since then, I was always seeking out the other comedy things. Like the Kids in the Hall was a thing that like my dad was kind of like, well, I don't get it. But I was like, I love it. And just every little thing from there. And I think that's kind of where I found Almost Live. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. My mom was the biggest David Letterman fan, and so I grew up with The Simpsons. So, like, Conan O'Brien and David Letterman were, like, my wheelhouse of comedy.
Yep, exactly.
And so, like, weird and sarcastic are, like, I'm not very good at sarcasm, but, like, that's where my, that kind of dark, Letterman's dark.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Conan is just weird. And so, you know, that makes me think about my mom a lot. She did. But she wasn't like a funny person. She wasn't I can't remember her telling jokes of any kind, but she would sit there and laugh at Letterman all the time. And my dad didn't care about it at all. And my dad and I are much closer in personality, but like that really informed something that my mom, as a like educated, like smart, successful woman or whatever, would like sit down and watch Letterman be a weirdo. That's like, that's pretty cool. Cause
that is
the rest
awesome
of the family
that's
watched
really
Leno.
Awesome to think about. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. And Leno was so, it's like, don't get me wrong. You'll catch me laughing at Jimmy Fallon. It's not that he's above it. It's just, it's just like bad sitcom stuff. It's not
the
it
way
doesn't
that
push
I,
the limits at all.
Yeah. The way that I used to describe, you watch Leno's stand up when he was younger and it was more geared towards kind of some wild stuff. And it was more fun. Let's put it that way. Once he started getting like hosting gigs and once he got the Tonight Show for sure, it just seemed like it was written to not offend anybody is kind of where it felt.
Yeah.
And Dave did not care. Dave went right after you.
Yeah. And you see him interviewed now, like after his show, actually both of them, but Letterman is still like, he's still just as weird and prickly as ever.
Oh, he's great. Makes me so happy.
I bet he's a sweetheart. Yeah. And Leno's actually a lot more crass than he was on The Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I think Conan was the best thing that could have happened to America in terms of like The Tonight Show being a little bit weirder and sillier. Like, they needed someone to like push our boundaries a little bit, but instead we're like swinging back towards conservativeness so hard that like he was not the right person for that.
Yeah, it's anyway. A shame that what they did with that, like with Conan was there for a year and then all of a sudden he's like not and whatever, and then then we brought in Jimmy Fallon, who is supposed to be more like Conan, but he's more like Leno, and I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, just safe. It's just safe, silly. Like, oh look at this, they're singing songs and they have wigs on.
Yeah,
and it's like I get it that Conan couldn't have the masturbating bear come in.
That
perfect, spot on. I get it that like Conan, you know, having a masturbating bear going and running across the screen is probably not what America's like ready for.
Says who?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap this thing up and end on a positive to balance out all the terrible things.
I mean, like masturbating bears are pretty positive.
Astronauts on the International Space Station. I never thought about like. Let me back it up a little bit. I used to know this radio broadcaster, and he told me he like was the first person to describe to me what it was like for these guys that would come to America or England or whatever from like South America, and what a rude awakening it would be, and how far from home you would be, and like if you land in Columbus, it's like that's not like if you land in Miami, that's probably pretty awesome, but like if you're playing for Colorado Rapids, it's not that great of a thing, and it feels isolating and alienating, and how tough it would, and you don't know the language well, and how tough it would be on these guys that, you know, 3 hours a day they do soccer, and then the rest of the day they're just miserable. And so it really opened my eyes to that. Then you think about if you took it a step further and you went out to space on the International Space Station where you can't even, like, sit down because there's no gravity.
Wait.
Now, you also standing up isn't a problem, but...
You can't sit down. I never even thought about that. You can't sit down.
Wild, right?
That is weird. So you're just kind of floating like, there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then, like...
Sorry, my brain's about to explode.
Isn't that weird, right? Like, you, like, rely on gravity to ruin our bodies, but also it's like, oh, I can stop fighting it and just let it hold me down. That's awesome.
Yeah, and one of the things that... I go to Kennedy Space Center all the time, and every time that I have my son hanging out with me...
Because of proximity, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, yeah. every time that my son comes down, like, being right around the corner from Kennedy Space Center, essentially, it's just a three-hour drive from where I'm at, and we'll go and we'll spend the day there. One of his favorite things in the entire thing is the reinvented toilet for... on the International Space Station, where you sit down and you strap yourself in, and to make sure that you can, that you know what is in there, and if it came out, and if there's anything left, there's a camera inside the toilet staring up at your butt, and you're looking straight up above you at a screen watching your own filth.
Yeah.
And yeah, so he loves sitting on that, and he's got like the recreated photo from when he's like 5 all the way up through 14 now. Just every year, that's gonna be like
TikTok
that.
Has been
that's gonna be like his graduation thing of just him on the toilet getting older and older.
somewhere with Santa, his are just on the crapper.
Yeah.
TikTok is showing me this thing where you dig the wax out of your ear, and there's a camera on the end of it so you can see the wax in there, so you can like scoop it out. And
nice.
Gross, first of all.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a much grosser version, I think. Even I don't know, actually. I think maybe the ear thing is grosser than the ISS pooper. I'm gonna have to think about that.
Yeah,
especially, let us know at nerdtalkplus.com.
Yeah, let us know. Would you rather have earwax or the dead spider shell from last week's episode?
Anyway, so not only can you never sit down on the ISS, but it's like also like my mother-in-law's house. It's pretty cold. She keeps it frigid.
Plastic
in her house.
Furniture.
In space, it doesn't. That's probably the same in the ISS, right? And then the other thing is like you experience an overwhelming amount of like artificial light coming from LEDs.
Ooh.
And then you go through 16 sunrises and sunsets for every Earth day. And so it's like really discombobulating. And I guess like the beeps and the hums and whirs of all the machines and everything, it feels like you're kind of like in a robot's butt or something like that. And so what they're doing to combat that is they're sending a VR headset up, a Vive VR headset, so the astronauts can put it on and just, even for a minute, put some headphones on and that on and stand in a space that they feel like they'd be on Earth, experiencing a stream or see your dog or anything that's held down by gravity. You're still not, but you'd see that other stuff to try and help your brain realize that this is temporary and that there's other options and you're not just crazed in space or whatever, which is going to be a huge deal when we actually start traveling through space in the next couple hundred years and you have to like be off the Earth for so long that you don't remember what that is until we have a full generations of people that have never been anywhere but space. And so... yeah, it's butt space.
Butt space. And you said sleeping in a robot's butthole. That reminded me of the Gergatron 69,000 who was birthed from a robot's butthole on a UFO.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, it's the
aliens got it figured out.
All I can do when you said that, like thinking like a VR of your dog next to a stream or something like that, and you're floating around, like, is your dog going to float too? Are you going to start feeling that sensation? And like all of a sudden you're like, the thing that Brandon always brings up, the uncanny valley, where it's just different enough where you don't feel the gravity and you know that there's gravity on that. So it's like, are you freaking out? Would you need to strap yourself down so you can feel your feet on the ground or something? Like just something different.
I can't hold still to put the peanut butter on my balls. Nerd talk, thanks for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus Tuesdays at 10 a.m. assuming we don't get canceled for that. It's a pleasure to have everyone here.
You can't cancel us.
We are uncancelable. We're not. We love you. Please give us 5 stars.
Please. Yes, please. 5 stars. 5 stars. Leave a review. Leave words. Thick thighs save lives. Please write us back.
Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Join us live on the Odyssey app. Then after Pacific Daylight Time. And then after that, you can join us on demand via the Odyssey app or however you get podcasts. And if you can, it would be great if you could leave us a review wherever that is. And a 5 stars at the same time. So like if you're on Spotify, for instance, each episode you can rank. And if you give it 5, that'd be awesome.
If you love us, tell your friends. If you hate us, tell your enemies. We'll take either one of them. We don't care. Just send people here.
Or complain to your friends about how much you hate us. That's fine too. Yeah.
Yes, please. Just mention us.
Oh, look who just texted. It's Brandon. He's available at 3 today. All right. Well, for Sucker. Siege and the Skin Squatch, I'm Gregor. Have a great day. Bye, Siege.
Bye, Gregor.
I like how I'm like for Siege, and then I ask you to to say bye. What an idiot.
Double double robot Brandon.
All right, well, let's wrap this thing up and end on a positive to balance out all the terrible things.
I mean, like masturbating bears are pretty positive.
Astronauts on the International Space Station. I never thought about, like, let me back it up a little bit. I used to know this radio broadcaster, and he told me, he, like, was the first person to describe to me what it was like to for these guys that would come to America or England or whatever from, like, South America, and what a rude awakening it would be, and how far from home you would be, and, like, if you land in Columbus, it's like, that's not... Like, if you land in Miami, that's probably pretty awesome. But, like, if you're playing for Colorado Rapids, it's not that great of a thing. And it feels isolating and alienating. And how tough it would, and you don't know the language well, and how tough it would be on these guys that, you know, 3 hours a day they do soccer, and then the rest of the day they're just miserable. And so it really opened my eyes to that. Then you think about if you took it a step further and you went out to space on the International Space Station where you can't even, like, sit down. Because there's no gravity.
Wait.
Now, you also standing up isn't a problem, but...
You can't sit down. I never even thought about that. You can't sit down.
Wild, right?
That is weird. So you're just kind of floating, like, there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then, like...
Sorry, my brain's about to explode.
Isn't that weird, right? Like, you, like, rely on gravity to ruin our bodies, but also it's like, oh, I can stop fighting it and just let it... hold me down. That's awesome.
Yeah. And one of the things that I go to Kennedy Space Center all the time. And every time that I have my son hanging out with me.
Because of proximity, just so everyone knows.
Yeah. Yeah. every time that my son comes down, like being right around the corner from Kennedy Space Center, essentially, it's just a 3 hour drive from where I'm at. And we'll go and we'll spend the day there. One of his favorite things in the entire thing is the reinvented toilet for... on the International Space Station, where you sit down and you strap yourself in, and to make sure that you can, that you know what is in there, and if it came out, and if there's anything left, there's a camera inside the toilet staring up at your butt, and you're looking straight up above you at a screen watching your own filth.
Yeah.
And yeah, so he loves sitting on that, and he's got like the recreated photo from when he's like 5 all the way up through 14 now. Just every year. That's going to be like
TikTok
that.
Has been.
That's going to be like his graduation thing of just him on the toilet getting older and older.
somewhere with Santa, his are just on the crapper.
Yeah.
TikTok is showing me this thing where you dig the wax out of your ear. And there's a camera on the end of it so you can see the wax in there so you can like scoop it out. And
nice.
Gross, first of all.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a much grosser version, I think. Even I don't know, actually. I think maybe the ear thing is grosser than the ISS pooper. I'm gonna have to think about that.
Yeah,
let us know at nerdtalkplus.com.
Yeah, let us know. Would you rather have earwax or the dead spider shell from last week's episode?
Anyway, so not only can you never sit down on the ISS, but it's like also like my mother-in-law's house. It's pretty cold. She keeps it frigid.
Plastic
in her house.
Furniture.
In space, it doesn't. It's probably the same in the ISS, right? And then the other thing is like you experience an overwhelming amount of like artificial light coming from LEDs.
Ooh.
And then you go through 16 sunrises and sunsets for every Earth day. And so it's like really discombobulating. And I guess like the beeps and the hums and whirs of all the machines and everything, it feels like you're kind of like in a robot's butt or something like that. And so what they're doing to combat that is they're sending a VR headset up, a Vive VR headset, so the astronauts can put it on and just, even for a minute, put some headphones on and that on and stand in a space that they feel like they'd be on Earth, experiencing a stream or see your dog or anything that's held down by gravity. You're still not, but you'd see that other stuff to try and help your brain realize that this is temporary and that there's other options and you're not just crazed in space or whatever, which is going to be a huge deal when we actually start traveling through space in the next couple hundred years and you have to like be off the Earth for so long that you don't remember what that is until we have a full generations of people that have never been anywhere but space. And so... Yeah, it's butt space.
Butt space. And you said sleeping in a robot's butthole. That reminded me of the Gergatron 69,000 who was birthed from a robot's butthole on a UFO.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, it's
the aliens got it figured out.
All I can do when you said that, like thinking it like a VR of your dog next to a stream or something like that, and you're floating around, like, is your dog going to float too? Are you going to start feeling that sensation? And like all of a sudden you're like, it's what the thing that Brandon always brings up, the uncanny valley, where it's just different enough where you don't feel the gravity and you know that there's gravity on that. So it's like, are you freaking out? Would you need to strap yourself down so you're, like, you can feel your feet on the ground or something? Like just something different.
That I just can't hold still to put the peanut butter on my balls. Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah. Thanks for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus, Tuesdays at 10 a.m., assuming we don't get canceled for that. It's a pleasure to have everyone here.
You can't cancel us.
We are uncancelable. We're not. We love you. Please give us 5 stars.
Please. Yes, please. 5 stars. 5 stars. Leave a review. Leave words. Thick thighs save lives. Please write us back.
Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Join us live on the Odyssey app. Then after Pacific Daylight Time. And then after that, you can join us on demand via the Odyssey app or however you get podcasts. And if you can, it would be great if you could leave us a review wherever that is, and a five stars at the same time. So like if you're on Spotify, for instance, each episode you can rank. If you give it 5, that'd be awesome.
If you love us, tell your friends. If you hate us, tell your enemies. We'll take either one of them. We don't care. Just send people here.
Or complain to your friends about how much you hate us. That's fine, too. Yeah.
Yes, please. Just mention us.
Oh, look who just texted. It's Brandon. He's available at 3 today. All right. Well, for Sucker. Siege and the Skin Squatch, I'm Gregor. Have a great day. Bye, Siege.
Bye, Gregor.
I like how I'm like, for Siege, and then I ask you to say bye. What an idiot.
Double robot, Brandon.